Now, some of you are thinking this morning that I'm going to fix the breakfast because I have the eggs here.
That's what Bill was hoping for.
Yes, he was. I've got a request for scrambled, and what was the other one? There was another one. Somebody had said...
Basted?
No. I don't know about that. I've never had a basted one, but... Anyway, as you can see, we have the eggs, but we also have salt here. It's in a different container. But that's what we're going to talk about today, the salt, being the salt of the earth. It says in Matthew chapter 5, verse 13, it says, "You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men." So in the first century, salt was a very, very big deal. In fact, it was so important at that time and so valuable that actually some of the Roman soldiers got paid in salt. You're thinking, really? They got paid in salt? Well, bear with me because, again, salt was very valuable back then. But hence came the expression, "He's not worth his salt." I know how many of you have heard that phrase before. Some of you? "He's not worth his salt." So salt can enhance flavoring on meat, right? On fish. They gave an example here of one thing. I put it on my watermelon sometimes and my cantaloupe. I don't know about how many of you do that, but most of you. I'm surprised. Okay, I thought it was just the Bonnie thing, but it's not. Okay. Well, the thing is, we know that back then they didn't have refrigeration, so what did they have to do? They had to use the salt to help preserve the meat, okay? Help to preserve the meat, like the fish and so on. But they would literally rub the salt into the meat, and what did that do? It stopped it from rotting, and it stopped it from the spoiling process. But salt is also a thing that stimulates thirst. So think about it. The boy who gave the fish to feed the 5,000, his fish was probably salted, okay? But what does it mean? What does it mean that you are the salt of the earth? Well, this means that as a disciple of Christ, not just the disciples then, but us today, we are valuable. We are valuable to God. And you say, well, wait a minute. What you're saying is God can't do it without us? No, I'm not saying that. Because if he can't, if you don't, you don't want anything to do with him, he'll find somebody that does. But we, as being a servant unto God, a child of God, we are valuable. Aren't your children valuable to you? Well, we are a child of God, so we are valuable to him. But the thing about being the salt of the earth is we're to make a difference in our lives, in our everyday lives, that we are to make a difference. Being obedient, being respectful. Being obedient to God and being respectful to God and to those around us. Being honest, being humble, being cheerful. Oh, I didn't know we had to be cheerful. Yeah, we have to be cheerful. And we have to have good work ethics. You know, we don't miss church or miss work because we just don't feel like it that day. You know, we have to be, you know, faithful servants, okay? We have to be peacemakers. We have to show kindness. As I was sharing with Mary the other day, there's a WBJL Christian Radio started a club. It's called the Kindness Club. And they started this 3 or 4 weeks ago. And I think they were wondering how well it was going to take off. And within a matter of a couple of weeks, they got over 100 schools in the United States that have signed up for this Kindness Club. And it's not just your Christian schools, your regular schools. And what it is they send them a packet of different things that they can show kindness to someone. So it's a positive thing. It's a positive way, and it teaches the children to not be so self-centered and to reach out and make a difference in others' lives in school. So I think that's great that, you know, they were pretty excited because one of the schools was actually in California. So they were very happy that this particular club that they have, you know, started is really taking off. And so, again, it's one of the fruits of the Spirit, you know, patience, meekness, kindness, gentleness. And so it's great that it's, you know, whatever tool it takes to get God's people to do what they need to do. So again, we need to be peacemakers, and we also need to show mercy. And with that, I want to share a true story. There was this husband and wife who were kind of having a little bit of a valley in their relationship. And they were kind of touchy with each other. And, well, if you wouldn't do that, I wouldn't do this. You know, that was the kind of thing that was going on. So they decided that they were going to do a do-it-yourself counseling session, which that's bad already, right? But what they had, what they decided was they were going to write a list of each other's faults and shortcomings. So the husband wrote his, and the wife wrote hers, and they switched them, and they gave them. So the husband reads his first that his wife gave, and it said, "You snore, and you eat in bed, and you never pick up after yourself." And it was her turn, and she started reading hers. And as she read the grievances that the husband had next to it, he put, "I forgive this, and I forgive this, and I forgive this." Yesterday, I gave that at this wedding, and it was an example of what we need to do, not just in our relationship with our spouse, but with our relationship with our friends, with our coworkers, with people that, you know, like to pull out in front of us on the highway, or, you know, or going too slow or whatever. And so we need to, "I forgive this. I forgive that you just did that. I know I don't sound like I'm forgiving you with this tone, but I still forgive you." You know, maybe not saying it to that individual like that, but you might be saying it, you know, in your car when you're by yourself. But the point being is that's something that we all need to practice. We all need that. And God gives us those opportunities. You know, when we say, "Lord, I sure could use a little more patience." Well, he's gonna accommodate you. And it might not be in the way you'd like. But God will use us, and through that, he knows that we are the salt of the earth. So again, just as salt stops the rotting and the spoiling process of meat, the same is true with us as disciples of Christ. We can stop the spread of evil, and we can slow down the decay of society. Again, in classrooms, in the offices, in neighborhoods, in our families, in culture, we can speak the word of God. WWJD. What is that? What would Jesus do? What would Jesus do? The greatest compliment that we can be paid as Christians is someone coming up and saying, "I don't know what it is about you, but you just shine. It's not like you're flaunting yourself or, you know, trying to make yourself stand out, but when I'm around you, I just feel different. I feel so comfortable." I have a friend of mine named Lauren and his wife Dorothy. They're both passed away since. But I loved being around them. He had a great sense of humor, but man, he loved the Lord. And when you were around him, you could just see it all over him. You could just see the love just pour out of him. And you just loved to be around him because they were just such wonderful people and they loved the Lord. And so don't you want to be known for that? That when people think of you, you know, you want to be around them. They want to be around you. So, again, the greatest compliment that we can be paid is the fact that someone wants us, you know, like, or even say, "You know, when I grow up, I want to be just like you." So, as Christians, we have to create in a non-believer that thirst for the things of God. We have to stimulate that thirst. And how do we do that? By our behavior, by our actions, by what we say, by what we do, being an example. That's how we can get their thirst, you know, to stimulate their thirst. But again, as we said at the end of this verse, it says, "And when the salt has lost its flavor, it's never good for soil or a manure pile. It's thrown away." It's like an espresso without the caffeine. But we can be a salty Christian and being a representative of Jesus at the same time. You know, some Christians like to point out areas of culture failure. And maybe when we do that, when we're speaking out and saying, "Well, I don't like the way this is done," or "I don't like the way that's done. Look at the way our world's, you know, there's so much negative." Maybe we should look within ourselves and say, am I responsible for the fact that there's not enough salt? What can I do to add more salt to this situation? It might be just praying. Again, it might be taking action, stepping out. There's a good example of that with Bruce and Caroline and the situation that they're dealing with Dave. They just love him and they're trying to help him, and he just, there's fear that has tried to come in there, and yet they don't give up. And they've done all they can do physically at this point. Now they have to pray. But all of us can probably, if we sat long enough quietly by ourselves and said, there's a situation where I need to add salt. I need to add some more salt. Again, when you do that, you need to ask, it says, Mary and I were talking about this, the memory verse for the kids' club, that if we lack wisdom, we're to ask of God, and he will give it to us. So when we're not sure what to do in a situation, and we want to add more salt, first thing we need to do is ask God, what kind of salt do you want me to use? How much salt do you want me to do? When do you want me to apply this salt? You need to ask him all of those things, and then sit back and use your faith and wait on God. Because when you're using your faith, it's because you're waiting on God, or you're waiting on God, and that's when you're using your faith. Amen? So, the first century church turned the world upside down because they did exactly that. They did what they knew they had to do. They had to follow the Holy Spirit. They had to use their faith. And like I said earlier, Jesus takes and sprinkles us like salt into the world, just like he did with the disciples. He literally sprinkled them here and there so that it could prevent the decay of society. So salt was also used as fertilizer up until the mid-1900s. The English farmers actually added salt to their crops, or their, you know, to increase the yield of their crops, to help their crops grow more efficiently. So as Christians, we are encouraged to help those who are unbelievers or those that have just come to know Christ. We need to sprinkle our salt on them, so again that they get thirsty for the Lord, or you are helping that fruit grow and increase. Amen? So the Old Testament salt was included in offerings and made to use in the temple. It says that in Ezra chapter 6, verse 9. And then also in Leviticus 2, chapter 13, the Old Testament law instructed the Israelites to add salt to their offerings and to season all their grain offering with salt. Again, why? Because when they did that, it was holy. It was sacred and holy. So there's a lot more to this salt, and I'm going to call it a covenant, and you'll see why in a minute. But there's more to this salt thing than you realize. So it says also that salt is an essential part of the temple worship as well. So it talks about the grain, but it goes further, and it talks about when you give in the temple offerings. So in Ezekiel chapter 43, the prophet Ezekiel, he had a vision of the new temple of the future. He wrote regarding the burnt offerings, he says, you are to offer them before the Lord, and the priests are to sprinkle salt on them and sacrifice them as a burnt offering to the Lord. So again, here's salt being added. Now another thing is that I talked about this last week, that the tribe of Levi was picked among the 12 tribes of Israel. But that particular tribe was chosen just to be priests. Well, they weren't given land. The other tribes were given land. This particular tribe was not given land. And they had to trust God for anything that they got. So again, part of the sacrifices that came in were to go to the priests, and salt was one of those things that came in for them. So they took a portion of that, because that was God's promise to them, that he would provide, and that's how God provided for them. They, again, weren't given land. So salt was also a key of ingredient in incense mixed in with the fragrant spices. So again, it's not just, you know, for the meat or for the sacrifice. It was also, salt was also put in the incense that were burned in the temple. And that was in Exodus chapter 30, verses 34. Salt is added and contributes to the spiritual quality. Again, as I said, it's holy and it's sacred. So what's God calling us? He's calling us the salt of the earth. So what's that make us? Holy and sacred unto him. Did we ever realize just how important we are? I mean, we know, you know, we've all been called to spread the gospel. But to realize that with that calling, we are called the salt of the earth. And because we're the salt of the earth, what we're doing is whatever we put our hands to, whatever we are called to do, God's favor and blessings are upon you because you step out and you minister to other people. God considers what you're doing as sacred and holy. So, come across this, in which I knew it, but I didn't know it. I mean, I've heard of it, but I didn't dwell into it. It's called the Covenant of Salt. And so when I saw this, I started really researching it. And it talks about, well, what is the salt of the covenant of the salt? Well, what it is like David, he had a covenant with God. And God promised him, he said, it just isn't a covenant just with you, but with your descendants and forever. So God had this covenant of salt, not only with David, but with Noah, with Abraham, with the Jewish people, with Aaron. He had this covenant with them. It's called the covenant of salt. So God's divine faithfulness and friendship is what that's all about. That salt covenant, that covenant of salt, is God's divine faithfulness and friendship, a relationship with us. That will never, ever end. It will be with us forever. Just like his love for us is forever. God gave me an eye opening. I said, Lord, I said, you know, this person's maybe going to go to hell. But you know what he said to me? He said, but that doesn't stop me from loving them. I still love them. And that's why I grieve. And that's why my heart grieves. And because I want them with me so much. Just because they're in hell doesn't mean that I've stopped loving them. And that's like with our children. When they do stuff, I don't like what you did, but I still love you. That's what God's saying. But because he's a God of his word, if we don't accept Christ as our Lord and Savior, then that's where we're going. And you're breaking his heart. But again, it doesn't stop his love for you. So if that doesn't stop, that covenant of salt is never going to stop as long as we keep doing our part. So that as believers, we have a value in this world. Isn't it nice to know that we are valued by God in that manner? To have a preserving influence and an impact on those around us. That those people that God puts across our path, we're responsible. We're responsible. Remember when I said we have to look back and say, am I adding enough salt to this relationship? Like that married couple I just talked about? Am I adding enough salt to this career, to this job? Am I doing my best for my boss? Am I doing my best when I go to listen to the word in my church? Is there more that you want me to do, Lord? Am I adding enough salt? It doesn't matter where you're at. Whatever, where God's put you that day, you need to stop yourself and say, Lord, where can I add some more salt today? Because I am the salt. I am the salt. You've said I'm the salt of the earth. So, to bring joy and to bring flavor to others on our journey. God has given us the opportunity, but we have to make sure that we're not going to be bland and we're not going to be worthless, like it says in the scripture about taking the salt and putting it in a manure pile or tossing it away. But be pleasing and attractive. How many of us might add salt and some pepper to their eggs in the morning? I have to have salt and pepper on my eggs every morning. It just makes them taste a lot better. So we know that seasoning, God gives us that seasoning because He wants us to enjoy our food. He wants us to appreciate it and enjoy it. That's just the way our God is. So we need to be, again, pleasing and attractive to others and be encouraging to others, to lift others up. And as we've heard the old saying, salt, a little salt can go a long way. Amen? Okay, so with that,
I'm going to show you this here. I'm going to put some in this one. Some here. Now, we know if we put an egg in this water, what's it going to do? It's going to go to the bottom, right? That's true. Who said that, Mary? But if we add salt, we need to add more salt. There it goes. A little more. I think there's so much water in it. Maybe that egg is bad. Anyway, it's supposed to flow. It wants to, yeah, it's floating a little bit. It's like halfway. If I put more salt in, it's going to overflow. Anyway, there it is. Ah! It's floating. I just need to stop wiggling the water. You see it?
Hey, Ann.
Yes.
I thought of one.
Yes.
Okay. And stirring it out of the insurance.
Yeah.
Why does a fish live in salt? Anyways.
Okay. Why?
Because pepper makes them
sneeze. What's that? Oh, yeah. We're going to have to let you take over for Jerry when he's not here. Okay,
Andrew? I wonder after that egg sits in that salt block for a while, if you scrap it, that the action salt would fry it.
I don't know, and I was wondering about that myself, and then I thought, if I used it once, can I use it again for this sample? But I'll find that out shortly with the kids. Lois made a good point. She said that when we do object lessons like this, you're more apt to think about it, remember it more. Caroline, can you come up here for a second? I was showing this to Lois, and yesterday, like I said, I was doing a wedding yesterday, and they were putting their cookie, who had to sit down, please. they were doing the ring part of the wedding, and I wanted to anoint the rings, and I wanted them to hold the rings before they put them on. So I had them cup their hands. I want you to cup your hands. And so what I had them do was I had the groom put his hand underneath the bride, and then one on the top. And then
I put the rings in there, and we anointed the rings. But then after they, you know, we did that, I said, that's what we are to be as husband and wife. We are to lift each other up. Lift each other up. But see, there's going to be times when I need to lift her up, and he needs to lift her up. That's the other way around. But, what the thing is. So, after that happened, I had about 5 or 6 people make the comment after the ceremony that that really stuck with them, that they saw something visual. And that's why I do this, because, you know, I don't do it frequently, you know, a lot, but I will do it because you're more apt to remember it and, you know, what the purpose of it is. But the biggest thing out of today's message is I want you to realize, ask yourself through the day, am I adding enough salt to my plan and purpose today that God has for me? Sometimes that is a good way to remind yourself. Or you're dealing with an individual that, you know, just kind of rubs you the wrong way. You might want to ask yourself, am I adding enough salt to this situation? Amen. So, dear God, remind us each day that we are your beloved children, called and equipped and empowered to be the salt and the light of the world. And by sharing your grace, Father, that you have given us your deliverance and your joy. Father, we ask that as we join with our family, our friends, our co-workers, our neighbors, strangers, even strangers, Lord, let us remind ourselves how we can apply the salt in our lives to make a difference in others' lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.